China could soon see its biggest stock listing in a decade. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. China Mobile said today it's looking to raise $8.8 billion in a secondary listing in Shanghai. That's after it was added to a U.S. blacklist and forced to delist its shares from the New York Stock Exchange. The BBC's Mariko Oi has more on that from Singapore.
China Mobile, which of course is the world's biggest mobile network operator, it wants to raise as much as almost $9 billion when it lists its shares in Shanghai. If you remember, the company was kicked off the New York Stock Exchange when Donald Trump was the US president, citing national security concerns. So the company has been looking to list back in China, and this is the latest announcement that we've got. But of course, it's one of many Chinese companies which are looking at either mainland Chinese or Hong Kong stock markets to relist. You know, if you remember, ride-hailing giant Didi had announced earlier this month that it was going to delist from the New York Stock Exchange and maybe relist in Hong Kong. And I've actually been looking into this story, you know, whether this means that this could be kind of the end of Chinese companies listing in the U.S. A lot of analysts say that it's probably too soon to say. But at the same time, if Chinese companies stop listing in America, it means they really lose the ability to raise money through the American Stock Exchange. And, you know, as sophisticated as Hong Kong or Chinese stock markets may have become, it's nothing compared to Wall Street. So it's a huge dilemma for those Chinese companies, which are practically being under scrutiny, not just in the U.S., but also back home in China.
So this will be China Mobile's secondary listing in Shanghai. It's already listed in Hong Kong. What will it use its proceeds from the listing for?
Well, according to the company, they'll use it to develop projects including premium 5G networks, infrastructure for cloud resources and intelligent ecosystems, which of course has been a very controversial topic, you know, 5G, national security, data. And that's been, the heart of this tensions between the U.S. and China. You know, the U.S. regulator has been pushing for more transparency from those Chinese companies listed in America, while Beijing isn't so keen on that because it includes some sensitive data, especially when it comes to China Mobile, but also Didi. And that's why we've been hearing from those companies either being kicked off or deciding to delist from the New York Stock Exchange and instead looking at their home markets in Hong Kong or Shanghai. So it's a very interesting time whether we will see more Chinese companies deciding not to list in America. You know, back in 2017, 2019, you know, we saw so many Chinese companies rushing to America to list, but instead they're now looking at their home markets because of all these scrutiny on both ends.
The BBC's Mariko Oi for us. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Victoria.
Checking some other numbers now, global stock markets are rebounding from yesterday's sharp losses here in Europe. Benchmarks in London, Paris, Frankfurt, and Milan are up in the 0.5% to 0.9% range. Investors say a rise in commodity stocks like miners and oil is helping to offset some of the nervousness about the economic impact of the Omicron coronavirus variant. Number crunching at Bloomberg today, though, suggests global economic growth will halve in the final 3 months of this year, coming in at 0.7%. We've been talking a lot on this show about the economic conundrum facing Turkey. In the last 2 days, there have been wild fluctuations in the currency, which at its lowest point shed more than half its value this year. In the past 2 days, though, the lira has strengthened about 30%. That's after President Erdogan unveiled yesterday a series of new measures to try to restore confidence in the country's currency and prevent Turks from selling lira for U.S. dollars. The policies, though, confused many, including those inside the country. Tim Ash, an economist at Blue Bay Asset Management, explains what we do know at this point.
The government essentially is compensating depositors in lira for any FX depreciation beyond the interest rate they're receiving on the existing deposits. So, for example, if they have a lira deposit and there's a 10% interest rate and the lira devalues by 25%, the government, in effect, will pick up the tab for the additional 15% to make up for the loss of value in their lira deposits because of the exchange rate move. The reason is that given the currency collapse and rising inflation, there was a real concern about the run on bank deposits. So the government has tried to encourage people to keep some of their savings anyway in lira by providing almost an insurance policy against further FX depreciation.
And so it sort of worked yesterday. I mean, we saw a breathtaking swing in the value of the lira. I mean, short term, yes, but long term, is this going to be a sustainable way to prevent further declines in the lira?
Probably we saw intervention by the central bank in relatively illiquid Christmas markets at a time when the lira had already crashed incredibly by almost 30% in the first 20 days of December. I mean, I think that it was positive that Erdogan affirmed his commitment to markets, although not interest rates. He hates interest rates. And he avoided going down the capital control route, which would be a disaster for Turkey. And he provided a bit of assurance that it will hopefully slow or reduce the risk of a run on bank deposits, which would create a systemic crisis in Turkey. The problem with this scheme is we don't know very much about it. We don't know if it will work. We don't know if actually people will trust the government. And there's going to be a huge fiscal cost in effect as well. And also important to think about the setting. Turkey has to go to elections in the next 18 months. Erdogan is running very low in the opinion polls. He needs to turn the economy around. And the broader announcements we saw yesterday for him were of, you know, more credit expansion, pump prime the economy in the run-up to those elections. That probably means more inflation, so ultimately more pressure on the exchange rate, and probably will undermine the impact of a cheaper currency on the current account or trade deficit positions. So still a lot of question marks. Today at 2 p.m. apparently they're going to provide more details on this particular scheme. But in the end, someone has to pick up the tab. And ultimately, the sovereign balance sheet, the government will have to pick up the tab for this. Its creditworthiness probably will reduce as a result of this. But this is the cost of shoring up the banking sector, in effect.
Tim Ash, an economist at Blue Bay Asset Management. Thanks for breaking this down for us.
My pleasure.
Finally, there are just 4 days to go until Christmas, but the World Health Organization is urging people to take COVID-19 prevention measures seriously. A spokeswoman told the BBC it's vital for people to avoid unnecessary travel and cancel some holiday plans. Pressure, though, is mounting here in the UK to help businesses affected by the disruption of the Omicron variant. Later today, the government could offer more financial support should more restrictions be imposed. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.